verses 1 through 6. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian, Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing golden incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
The gospel lesson comes from Mark. We are in the year in which we focus on the Gospel of Mark. And so this is early in the Gospel, in the first chapter, beginning of the fourth verse. And it speaks of this crazy-looking guy and what he does in relationship to this person named Jesus. Listen for God's word. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today marks the baptism of our Lord. Today marks the beginning of the Epiphany season, the season in which Jesus is somehow revealed more fully to us for all his truth and wisdom, grace, and glory. But today is also the time within the life of this congregation where we ordain and install elders and deacons to their particular office. Now, the question I usually pose to officers, whether they've served before or not, I ask them this question. Why has God chosen you at this time to be an elder or a deacon in the life of Biskop Restoring Church? Why has God chosen you now? Now, the answer is not because no one else is willing. But I find that when people take that question seriously and begin to look at the time they spend in service, and they look to say, why is it that God has called me to do this? They begin to discover some interesting things. Sometimes some relatively proud and profound things about themselves, about who they are, who they serve, what it is they're attempting to do. It is not just simply filling a vacancy that is in some board. It is literally people being called up by the voice of the congregation to serve in a special way, to serve in care ministries, to be spiritual leaders or members of the congregation, to help discern God's will together and to share that with the people of God and to help them live out that which God calls them to. It is a high calling. In our tradition, it's made special because when you see during the course of the ordination installation of officers today, we'll literally invite pastors from a Reformed tradition and elders present to come forward and lay hands on those that are going to be ordained. An old tradition of literally commissioning them to that role, to pray for them, to know that God's grace will be upon them, God's Spirit will be working within their lives and in what they do, to help guide them as to the way they should go and the way they should invite all of you to go. It is a high calling and one to be taken very seriously. And it is a different and unique role than anything else we may play in our life. Not as parents, not as employees, not as employers, not as citizens. To be a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ is a very special and unique calling. Not just for anyone. So then, those who are going to be ordained and installed are looking at me going, so why am I being called to be a deacon and an elder at this time in this place? And I hope before your time of service is over, you can answer that question for yourself. This does mark an important occasion, and it marks the revelation of this person, this Word that became flesh to dwell among us, full of grace and truth, this man named Jesus, who was not like any other person, who was unique and special in particular ways, that he was flesh and blood just like us, that as he functioned and worked with others, he began to see characters and qualities about him that really stood out. They were quite outstanding in all kinds of ways. We saw him truly perform miracles and make God present in a special way. He found a way to relate and connect that really touched people's lives and change people's lives. They were never quite the same after they had met and spent time with this person named Jesus. This season of Epiphany is a time of continual revealing. We have an understanding of who this Jesus is. We have some sense of why he came, but we have a continuing understanding to learn what it is in our role to play as followers of him. Who are we to be? What are we to do? What is our sense of calling as members of church family? So the question is not just for the officers, but it is for you. Why are you here? What purpose do you have in the life and ministry of this church? What is God calling you to be and to do? And what difference does that make for not only you, but for the community of faith? And if you do not share that which God calls you to do, then how does that negatively impact the community of faith in which you're part of? Whether you're a member or a friend or a family member, you are a part of this community of faith. And what is God's calling to you in the time of this? This is an interim period. It is a time between installed pastors. It is a unique and special opportunity for you to discover where God is leading us all. And where is that? So often when God comes to us, it changes us and things become different and new. We realize new things about ourselves, new things about the world around us, and new things that we're supposed to be accomplishing together. It does have an effect to change us, to alter our perspective on the world, perspective on ourselves. And so the quest is for us to continue to be open to the revelation of God in our lives, how God is present, how we are to be the flesh to others to make his presence known. We're in this season called the first of the year. But for us, it's also stewardship because it is the chance for us to look and say, well, what am I willing to commit to the Lord for the new year? What is 2018 to be about? 2018 is a unique year in and of itself. It'll be nothing like the year past, nothing like the year yet to come, but it is a special year because we're now in it. We're now living it. And how are we going to live it? How are we going to discern God's will together? With the help of God's Spirit, with the help of deacons and elders and pastors, how do we discover where God wants Pisgah Presbyterian Church to go? Because it may be a different path than what you've done in the past. It may call us to do different and new things, to reaffirm those things that we need to continue, but to look at new possibilities. For the world continues to change, and as our perspective of understanding how God's gospel plays itself out in the world, also evolving, changing, ever unfolding. This new year is an opportunity to discover what that may look like. The Isaiah passage talks about this light that will rise, this light that will shine. For them, they were in exile. They were in darkness. They did not know what the future holds. But now they're hearing a promise of one who is to come, who's going to lead them into a new future, into God's future. And I hope that when all of us reflect on that, is there any better future to want to be in than God's future, where God wants us to be? So Isaiah purports that sense in which that light has come, that light has arisen. Where do we see it? How do we see its evidence made plain to us? And how do we follow its light to lead us along life's path? Isaiah calls the people of God to reassess your life, to reaffirm what you believe, and to recommit yourself to that which you believe. One of the striking ways that's made particularly clear is in the gospel passage. It talks about Jesus' baptism. It was a confirming of who he is and to whom he belongs. It was a clarion call, not only to him, but others who witnessed him, that a dove descends out of heaven and lights upon him and says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It is this one God has chosen to be a light to the nations, to show us the way. And how is he showing us that way? Is truly the call for us to open ourselves to that possibility. Baptism also marks us. When we were baptized, whether as children or youth or adults, we literally have been marked as God's own, God's children. And if we are God's children, then we're part of God's family. And if we're part of God's family, then we need to be about family things. Doing things together. Caring for one another. Encouraging one another. Challenging one another. Inviting one another. To do all the important things that we need to be about as the family of faith. The family of God. The leaven in the world. The light on a hill. And how is that visible for us? How does that show itself? How do we see ourselves as part of this continual unveiling of the entrance of God's kingdom and its continued movement towards fulfillment? For Jesus, that baptism confirmed who he was as God's Son, as the Messiah, the one long hoped for. For him was the hope that was presented to everyone to realize that light has come into the world, and if we but follow it, we will not be led astray. But it also reminds us, to reflect on our lives, we also need to move out some important activities, as individuals and as a community of faith. We need to reassess our lives. We need to take stock. Is everything the way we hope it should be? Are we doing all that which we know we should be about? Or is there something else? Something we need to exchange one activity for another? A new direction we need to find ourselves going? A new perspective that when we're in the schoolhouse, we're in the workplace, we're in our neighborhood, we're a citizen of our country, how does our belief in Jesus impact who we are and how we behave? That reassessing is important because we sometimes need to take reflection long enough to see, are we on the path that we want to be on? Or do we need to make some alterations, some changes? Concrete ones, for the encouragement of others. Because we know we cannot do it by ourselves. We need the help of the community of faith to be about anything we're about. We do not stand alone. reassessing our lives. We also need to reaffirm our faith. What do we believe in? Depending on what we believe, should impact how we live. If I believe in ghosts, it affects how I go about life. If I believe in Jesus, who's the Savior, that should have some impact on what difference it makes for the world. That He's saving who from what? He's saving me from what? For what? It makes a difference what we believe. Because hopefully we're living out that which we believe in our daily lives. We're showing evidence so people see qualities of God and see qualities of the kingdom being lived out by the way we live. The way in which we deal with conflict, trouble, heartache, disappointment, loss, challenges. To reaffirm what we believe so then we can be active in being about that which we believe. It is truly that which we're invited to do in this season and seasons to come. And we have to recommit. Sometimes you have to sit down and say, I'm going to make a change in my life more than I'm going to have a diet. Because I can't quite get in my outfit from last year, so I need to lose 5 pounds. That's a worthy goal. Hope you're about those things you want to be about. Need a little more exercise because I haven't done enough in the last year. But more than that, based on what you've reassessed, based on what you've reaffirmed, what is it you're called to commit to in this new year? And when you commit yourself to the Lord, is it all of yourself? Or just pieces and parts? Does what God gets out of you in your time and talents and treasures leftovers or first fruits? That's a question we have to ask. Every day we chart out what we're going to do, how we're going to go about our day, and what activities we're going to fill them with. So we need to recommit ourselves to the things God calls us to do. God wants us to do in every line of work we're involved in. Whether it's being good students, whether it's being good parents, good citizens, good employees, good employers. We are called to live out our faith so others can see the revealing of God's goodness and graciousness, God's truth and mercy and love. Epiphany is a season to witness the transforming power of God's love in Jesus Christ. So that we can reassess our lives, reaffirm our beliefs, and recommit our lives to God in Christ. Which is the focus of that which we now celebrate together. there are a variety of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them.